All right, so we're going to continue with the Mishnah near the bottom of Kuf Yud Beis on the Beis. Six lines from the bottom. Mishnah continues, Ba'elu Kodshim Kredim B'Mishkan. The following Kodshim were brought in the Mishkan, meaning there was, again, even during the time when Bama Samoto, during the period when the Mishkan was in Gilgal, the 40 years when they were just conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael, and afterwards the 57 years in Noiv and Givon, nevertheless, you have certain korbanos that have to be brought on the central Mizbeach, which is called the Bama Gdola at that period. So they are as follows. Number one, Kodshim Shehukta Sul Mishkan. Number one, any Kodshim, even of a Yachid, that were designated that they're meant to be brought in the Mishkan. In other words, if a person designated them as a korban during the time when the Mishkan is standing and has the Aron in it during the time in the desert or during the time of Shiloh, then he has to bring them in the Mishkan because that was what he vowed to do, and he has to keep his promise. Korbanos Tzibur craving the Mishkan. Also, all Korbanos Tzibur have to be brought in the central Mishkan, even during those periods. For Korbanos Yachid B'Bama, but Korbanos of an individual person during those periods can be brought on a Bama. If a person designates during those periods that he's going to bring a Korban, then the famine means he's going to bring it on a Bama. Korbanos HaYachid Shehukta Shul Mishkan. Now, if you have a person designated a Korban, a private Korban, where he designated it at a time when the Mishkan was standing, so it was not that he designated it, he actually specified, so before we were talking about it, he designated it when the Mishkan was standing, and then he didn't end up being makrivit, he was makrivit later, when Bama was Samotar. Now we're talking about, though, if when he was makrivit, he specifically said, I'm going to bring them to the Mishkan. So then, yekrivim b'mishkan, and he has to bring it to the Mishkan, because he has to keep his promise. They yekrivim b'bama, but if he brings them on a Bama, potter, then he's potter from any punishment, because there was no, yeah, well, I mean, he's over on his word, but he's over on his net, they're fine, but there's no specific punishment for that. It's an Esther. He was over on Moses Pasecha Tishma of Al Sisa. So it's an Esther. That's what we said, Korban Sibur, you can't. But right, we're talking within Korban Yachid. But you're right. You're right, actually. You can only, and we're going to discuss later on in our parak, that even among korbanos yachid, it can only be the type of korbanos that can be voluntarily brought. So basically only Ola and Shlom. That's true, actually. You're right. Rashi mentioned when the prophet says that the Moshe tells the Jewish people, don't do what we're doing today, ish kol ha-yosha be'enav, meaning this whole heter, bringing korbanos on a bama, only applies to ish kol ha-yosha be'enav. Thank you. Only applies to korbanos that a person decides, good in my eyes, in other words, I voluntarily want to bring this korban, and therefore he's bringing it to a chatas or an asham, or any other statutory korban, yeah, you brought on the bama of the garden. Okay. Oma ben bama siyach of the bama siyach. Yeah. So what are differences between a private bama and a public bama? What things have to be done by the public bama that don't have to be done by the private one? Smicha, leaning the hands on the korban, which has to be done by many korbanos. You don't have to do that by a bama. Or shchitas tzafen, that it would have to be shechted on the north side of the Azara. You don't have to do that by a private bama. Or matan soviv, that the blood has to be applied all around the mizbeach, meaning all around, as we learned before in the Masechta, shnei matanos shnei nadra. You don't have to do that by a bama. Or tznufa.
They were square.
They could be. I don't know if they had to be, but the point is, whatever it is, whatever shape they were, you weren't required to apply the blood shnei matanos shnei nadra. You could just apply it one time, and you're good. Yeah. Or tznufa, and raving. So Rashi says the raving refers to a mincha. Later on in the parak, Rashi says rather that it means the waving of the pieces of a shlum, that usually you have the fat together with the chaz of a shlum are waved and then given to the kohen. So here you don't need that. Hagosha, and again that we said before, the hagosha, that means has to be touched to the corner of the mizbeach before you take the kindness of it, so you don't have to do that by a bomb. Well, we're going to see soon, yeah. Rabbi Yehuda interjects and says, no, then never mind, tznufa and hagosha, ein mincha b'bama. You can't bring a mincha on a bama in the first place. Therefore, it's not relevant to talk about whether tznufa and hagosha apply by a bama. You can't. There's no mincha brought there in the first place. And we'll learn in the Gemara why he said that. Continues the Mishnah with the list. The kihun, you don't have to have a koyin bringing korbanos on a bama, even a zohar can do it. Again, a private bama we're talking about. We're not talking about the public bama, the bama gola. That you have all the regular rules apply. or big day shores, that you don't have, the person doesn't have to be wearing big day kahuna, or clay shores, you don't need clay shores, you can use any keli for catching the blood and whatever. Reyach nichayach, and the rule of reyach nichayach that we learned earlier in the Masechta, we learned at the end of the fourth parak, that you're not allowed to, when it comes to the mizbeach in the Mishkan or the Beit Hamikdash, you're not allowed to first roast the pieces off the mizbeach and then burn them on the mizbeach, because then you don't have reyach nichayach, they don't give off their full aroma.
So you have to
take them while they're raw and burn them on the mizbeach. But by the private bama, that doesn't apply during the times. And private bamas were mutter, the years of Gilgal and the years of Noven Given, you were allowed to, if you wanted, let's say you bring an oila, you could go ahead and roast the pieces off the mizbeach and then go and burn them whenever bamas are also, right? Whenever bamas are, yeah. And also, again, we're saying when you bring korbanos in the Mishkan or the Beis Mikdash, whether at that point it has the status of a Mishkan or whether at that point it has the status of a bama gola, either way the rule of reyach nichayach applies. You can't roast them first and then put them on the mizbeach. But on a private bama during those periods, in private bama, some more so than you could do that. Or mechitzel of bama, another thing that doesn't apply by private. This is the Mishnah saying that. Wait a minute, we're talking the Mishnah. We're going to learn in the Gemara where we learn all these. Also, when it comes to a private bama, you don't need a separation as far as the blood. When it comes to the mizbeach, we learned that there was in the mizbeach and the Mishkan, there was a netting, there was a copper netting that went around the middle of the mizbeach, and one edge of it marked the midpoint of the mizbeach, so you have a chasas of blood has to go on the top half, and an orlo and another of the korbanos on the bottom half, and so forth. In the Beit Mikdash, in the Mizbeach and the Beit Mikdash, there was a red line painted around the Mizbeach for the same purpose. On a private bummer, you don't need any of that. You can put blood anywhere you want on the Mizbeach. And the Richut Gedayim Raglayim, and also the person doesn't have to wash his hands and feet before bringing a korban on a private bummer. Abel has man, but the rules as far as the deadline, how long you have to eat a korban, rather Rashi says, Tazman means the concept of chutzpah manner, the concept of a person, well, it means both. In other words, the fact that, for example, a shlomim that's brought on a bama still has the same 2 days and one night deadline as one that's brought in the Mishkan or the Beit Mikdash, and also, therefore, the rule of pigul would still apply. If a person were to be makir of a shlomim on a bama, having in mind that he's going to eat it beyond the 2 days, then it would be possible. It would be pigul. And no, sir, and also if anything is left over, then a person's not allowed to eat it in Chayav Karis. But Tomei, and the rules about Tuma, which apply also, no, Shavim does it over there, those apply in all places, both the private bomber and the public one. What it means by Tomei is a bit of discussion. We'll talk about later in the Perek Bez Hashem, whether it means that the person is Tomei, whether it means the Korban becomes Tomei. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. My Chutz Megidda, we said at the beginning of the Mishnah that if they shecht or burn the part of Adruma outside of its gap, then we said a person is not hired for that because the part of Adruma is not a korban that's brought inside the Azara. So what is the gap? My chutz migisa. I'm going to shlok a chutz mimakam abodukla. What it means is like this. You always have to be concerned that, as the shlokish is going to discuss later, you have to be concerned that the place where you're shechting and burning the parah aduma might be a place where there's kever hatahon, where there's a body, or enough of a body to be mechanic, buried underground where you don't realize. Therefore, you have to have the gas is a place where they checked it out, they made sure, they verified, they dug all the way down, as far to, so they dug all the way down to virgin soil, to where they can see that has never been touched by human hands. Therefore, that and therefore that there's nothing there's no human bones or any.
So
the Harabayas, actually, what they did is they built kippin al gabe kippin. For the Harabayas, what they did is they built a bunch of arcade like structures, and then on top of that another layer of those in such a way that the ones on top are not exactly above the ones on bottom. If this is one of the bottom ones, then this is one of the top ones. So the pillar of one is above the hollow of the one beneath it, vice versa. The point is that way any tumma that there might be underground over there is contained within one, between either the first or the second set of arches.
So did they check before they?
So did they have to check before they did that? I don't know. But in any case, with Harajasin, so actually the Mishnah in Torah I think mentions that they did something similar for Harazetim as well. But they did not for the whole Harazetim, but at least for the area of the Parah Aduma. But Rosh Lakish is saying over here that they had to check a specific area, because the Gemara is going to discuss later on that according to the Shlokish, the marble fell in the rain, the marble fell in Eretz Yisrael as well. Therefore, you can have bones or whatever that are moved around and semi-dissolved but not completely dissolved by the rain of the marble and embedded in the mud there far below ground, and therefore you actually have to check. They were mekame the Kohen Gadol, who's doing the Parah Adruma. They were mekame him. There's actually, the Tosfos, I think, discusses someplace else, whether they were mekame him with something d'oraisa, like a sheret, or just something d'rabbanan by having people touch him, but whatever it is. The point is, because that way he would tovel and he'd be a tzvul yom, the tzvukim held he's not allowed to be a tzvul yom, and the Chachamim deliberately wanted to demonstrate that's not so. So therefore, bedavka, they would be mekame him, so he'll be a tzvul yom. So we're talking about tumas mech. If it were to turn out that the area where they did the Parah Adruma has too much mess in it, then you have a real problem. So Rish Lakish is saying, chutz mimakom abodukla, you have to have, so therefore, in other words, you have to have a certain area that they thoroughly checked and made sure there are no bones or whatever there. So therefore, and that's where they have this gas. So therefore, if you shefted it or burnt it outside that gas, the Mishnah is telling us, don't think that a person is chayav for shchutichus for that, or for halah b'chutz, because then he's burning it out, he's shechting, or burning it not for the purpose of the mitzvah, because it's not the proper place to do it. Note, says Rish Lakish, that's what the Mishnah means, that a person is not chayav, because it's not a korban. It's not meant to be brought into this mikdash. Amalei Rav Yerushan, so Rav Yerushan says, what are you talking about? Makom abodur. V'haloi kol Eretz Yisrael b'dukah. The whole Eretz Yisrael has a chazakah of being bodur, that it's checked out, and then he made sure there's no tumah in it. Later on, we're going to discuss in the Nesovia, but Rabbi Yehoshua, in other words, because we have like this. The Gemara mentions in some other places that Goyim would bury people indiscriminately elsewhere. And in fact, that is the basic reason in Halacha behind the concept of Tumas Eretz Adim, that the Rabbanon, any place outside Eretz Yisrael is considered Tameh, is based on that principle, because Goyim bury indiscriminately anywhere, or at least they did in those days. And therefore, any place outside Eretz Yisrael, you might conceivably be walking on some place with a grave underground, or bones or whatever underground, where it's not in Eretz Yisrael. Because that's what we're going to discuss later, but Rabbi Yechon is saying the whole Eretz Yisrael is Baruch. We Jews are careful about that kind of thing. They only bury in designated areas, so yeah. So therefore, what do you mean that you need a specific place that's checked to make sure there's nothing in it? So Rabbi Yechanan says, no, what the Mishnah means is, let's say you were to take the Parah Adruma and shecht it inside the wall of Yerushalayim. Now that's for sure possible. It has to be outside the Machmeh. But nevertheless, the Mishnah is telling us that he's not possible. Okay, the question is, we're going to ask the Loikmer, we're going to shecht the Chutzpah Chomer, Shalika Negra Pesach. Why does Rabbi Yechanan need to use such an odd example where he shechted it inside the wall of Yerushalayim? Let him just say that. You're talking about he shechted it outside, he shechted it, let's say, even on Har HaBayis, but not right opposite the doorway of the Heichal. Like this, he's supposed to shecht it in an area on the Har HaBayis, which is in a direct line of sight, directly in front of him is the doorway of the Heichal. So why don't we just say more straightforward, he shechted it someplace else on Har HaBayis, let's say, or someplace else outside the wall. The Amr of Adar B'Ava, as in fact we see it, of Adar B'Ava said, shecht the Shalik HaNegad HaPesach, that if he shechts it not in front of the door, Psula, then it's possible. Shenem is a shochat vehizah, because the pasuk mentions that he has to shecht it, and then it says, right after that, it says he has to sprinkle the blood. Therefore, ma has also connected a pesach, so we learn from that, from that hekish, just like the sprinkling has to be in the direction of the, in front of the doorway, and that we know, because the pasuk says it has to be al noichach pnei oyomoyot, towards the entryway of the oyomoyot. So he actually has to see the doorway of the heichal and be sprinkling in that direction. In fact, the Mishnah in Midas tells us that for that reason, they made the eastern wall of the Har HaBayis lower than the other walls. Because if they made it the regular height, then it would block his view of the doorway of the heichal. So they had to make it low enough that even with the rise in level, you have the various steps, you have the 15 steps, you have the steps from the Chayil to the Ezes Noshim, and from the Ezes Noshim to the Ezes Yisrael and so forth, but there would still be a little bit of the doorway of the Heichal that he'd be able to see. Right. So Ashchitah, can I get a pass? That's the same thing. The Shchitah has to be done directly in front of the doorway. So why does Rabbi Yechanan have to find this odd case where he shechted it inside the wall? Why doesn't he say that he shechted it someplace else on Har HaBayis or on some other side of Yerushalayim outside the wall? the chitema dolim makish, you're going to answer, okay, maybe Rabbi Yechanan doesn't hold about hekish. No, v'har isma, because we have a discussion. This hekish that we just said, shachat behiza, that the shchita and the hadlah both have to be facing the doorway. But v'har isma, we have a discussion about exactly that point. Shachta shaloi kineged hapesach, that the, if he shechted the parah drama not directly opposite the doorway, Rabbi Yechanan amok sula, Rabbi Yechanan says it's possible, because the shachat behiza, the shalokish amok shere, the shalokish says it would be kosher, because on the chukpa matna of a shachat, because it just says that he has to take it outside the machna and shecht it. That's where he has to shecht it. The Ismar Nami, and we also have another discussion, a related discussion, Sofa Shalokin Egan HaPetzach, if he burns the Parah Adroma, not directly opposite the doorway. Again, Rav Yechon Amok Sula, but of Oshi Amok Shira. Rav Yechon Amok Sula, because the Sarach Vehita, because again, you have a Hekish, because it mentions over there that he has to sprinkle the blood, and immediately it's the next, in front of the Oyo Moir, it says that clearly, and the next thing it says is he has to burn it, which implies that the burning also has to be in front of the Omer, opposite the Omer, that is, Rabbi Rashi Amok Shera, because he says, Al Pirsha Yisroif, because Rabbi Yechanan says, fine, but you have the Pesach mentioned that you have to burn the whole thing. It says you have to burn the whole thing, the skin, the flesh, and the Peresh. Now, the simple meaning of Peresh, the simple meaning of Peresh is the waste that's inside the stomach of the animal also has to be burned with it. But he learned also that the word Peresh is also related to the word Purdish, separating, meaning Mimakim Sheperashis Lamisa Shom Tehsre Fasa, the place where the animal leaves life and goes to death. In other words, when it stops like this, we talked about earlier in the Masechta that many times after an animal or a bird is shechted, it jerks around for a little bit convulsively until finally the nerves stop firing and it's still. So you could have, in other words, that sort of Oshia points out. That you could conceivably have. Let's say you could have, you shechted the animal directly in front of Pesach HaOmer, fine. But the Yitzias HaNefesh, the finishing of the Pirkus, doesn't necessarily have to be in a direct line of sight to the Hekel, because it can move.
Right.
And the Pesach is not specifically saying that you have to take it back to the original place and burn it. It says you have to burn it out Pirsha, Mokam Shepereshet Lumid, so the place where it finished dying, Shom Tehesri Fos, so that's where you can burn it, even if it's not directly in front of the door. As you see, the Pesach doesn't say anything about that if it moves around after the Shvita, then you have to put it back. Right. So. So therefore, the point is that we see that Rabbi Yechanan accepts the Hekish between the Shachat and the Hiza, and also between the Hiza and the Sarah. So he says all of those things, the Shchita and the Hazar, everybody agrees, but the Shchita and the Shreifa all have to be in the same place, directly opposite the door. So again, you're back to the question, and why is Rabbi Yechanan having the talks about a case where it was shechted inside the wall of Yerushalayim instead of just saying that it's talking about that it was shechted someplace else outside Yerushalayim, and say that the Mishnah is nevertheless telling us that he's not chayav for shchut echos because it's not a carbon? The answer is, they say, loy mibayim. The answer is that Rabbi Yechanan is mentioning a greater chiddush. He says like it's needless to say if a person shechted the paradroma outside the wall, but not in direct line of sight to the door of the heichol, the rachoki rachaka. Sure, it's far away from this forest, it's far away from the place of kedusha. So therefore, of course, it's possible because he shechted it in the wrong place. The point is, Rabbi Yechanan wants to tell us, even you would think he shechted inside the wall to Karuve Karva, then he's bringing it close to the place of Kedusha. The Emet is Kasher, so you would think, I don't know, maybe it should be a Kasher of Parah Adroma then, from Ashmalan, and that's why he has to tell us that Davka has to be Chutz L'Shalosh Machnas. Davka has to be outside all of the Machnas, meaning outside Yerushalayim. It can't be inside any of the Machnas, so therefore if he shechted inside Yerushalayim, even in direct line of sight to the Heichol, it will be possible. That's what Rabbi Yechanan wants to inform us by talking about that he shechted it inside the wall. You shouldn't think in that case maybe it's kosher. No, in that case
you would think this way because what?
Because you would think that the Torah is telling you it has to be chutz l'sholosh machnas. Fine, but maybe it doesn't mean that it doesn't. No. It says that he takes it out on the chutz l'machnas, the shrach up the l'fonav. But you would think, okay, the Torah doesn't mind if you do it chutz l'sholosh machnas, but if you do it inside the machna, all the better. You would think. It's closer to the place of the kedusha. Therefore, he wants to tell us no. When the pasuk says it's alva chutz l'machna, it means exactly what it sounds like. It has to be outside all the machna. Yeah, exactly.
You would think
because you wouldn't know. The Alter Rebbe, by the way, talks about in Igeres Chochet, in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe talks about the deeper idea of the Chassidus, why it is that the Parah Adruma is Chutz L'Sholosh Machnos, and yet it's able to accomplish what no other Korban is able to accomplish, to be Mechaper, then not to be Mechaper, to take away Tumas Met, and discusses the idea over there about how it draws from a higher level of Rotten Elyon, and then,
in that sense.
And we'll stop over here and we'll continue. So tomorrow we'll have this discussion about the marble falling or not falling in Eretz Yisrael and some Agada in that connection about how they survived the marble.
You said it's not much Agada.
There isn't much Agada in this Masechta. At the end, yes. So actually, I think our Perek, I think, is going to have more Agada combined than the entire rest of the Masechta has had. Yeah.